this is what tyrants are afraid of, like Julius Caesar with the slaves coming about. If one is able to think things through, as one is able to come up with solutions in order to free themselves from slavery, and then to go help their other brothers and sisters who are also slaves, and then make it so that way those people start freeing other people with it and completely change the established order that there was for Rome, that would be a huge problem for someone like Caesar. Hello, and welcome back to the Forbidden Knowledge Podcast. My name is Nathaniel Hoitmacher, and I will be your host. Today, we will be continuing on with the Trivium Method, aka how to think instead of what to think. But before we go into that, I'd like to remind everybody that they need to go in order in terms of the episodes, starting with episode 1 at a minimum, preferably episode 0, that explains how the podcast works, why I'm doing it the way that I'm doing it, and to just give general insight into what to expect from the podcast as a whole. Each episode builds upon previous episodes, and you will need to have the prerequisite knowledge in order to understand everything that is being talked about. If you do not have this done, then you may not understand everything that's being talked about in the podcast, and you may not make it so that way you are able to fully comprehend and get the most out of each episode. So I encourage everyone to go back to earlier episodes on purpose, because they are not self-contained usually. They are usually part of an overarching theme for each season, and each season needs to make it so that way you watch in order just like you would just like you would watch a TV show or whatever, and make sure that you go in the order of the chapters of like a book or something like that. Because if you go out of order, it may not make any sense to you. You might miss something important that might change your understanding of what I'm talking about. So with that in mind, we will continue on with this episode, which is Episode 8, Season 1. In the previous episode, we were talking about the Trivium Method, and I had gone over some of the basics of how it works and why it works the way that it does and whatnot. And one of the most important things and most important aspects that I had brought up was the power that it had in order to free oneself from slavery, quite literally. And this is a story that I had brought up having to do with Julius Caesar and one of his generals who had taught a slave how to think and using the same method. And basically what Julius Caesar was so appalled when he had learned that this was the case with it, he is reported as having said that if you teach this to them, meaning the slaves, they won't want to be slaves anymore, and we won't be able to have our natural order the way that we have it. I'm paraphrasing here, but in other words, he was saying that this particular methodology has the power to make it so that way people don't have to be ruled over other people, and make it so that way they can choose freedom instead. This is according to, you know, someone who was actually in power and actually understood the dynamics of power far better than I ever will in terms of experiencing it directly, because I'm not someone who is in power, nor do I want to hold an office in which I am the dictator of everything that goes on in the empire. That sounds rather, well, bad to me personally, for reasons that we'll go into later on as the episodes continue down the road. And so I'm going to be talking about other benefits that are a part of this and why Caesar said what he said in this episode to really hit home into the importance of what is going on this particular thing of the trivium method and how it works and why it works and what it can do for you as an individual, rather than give examples of, various different ways that it can be used, which we will go into in the next episode. And then afterwards, we'll probably stop with the trivium method and move on to the next topic that I have. We'll just make it so that way you get a three-part mini series on it, because quite frankly, this could be a topic that people study, for a year on their own before they truly master it to the level that perhaps should be mastered. So with that in mind, I will continue on with the next segment of this, which has to do with the benefits of the trivium method. One of the benefits of the trivium method is the fact that we can basically learn any subject that we want once we fully understand the basics of it, and we won't need much help from an outside tutor, counselor, or facilitator because we can go and grab as many different sources as we can on our own and begin to really instruct ourselves on things. So it gives one the confidence in order to make it so that way we can learn anything that we want to learn that we have an interest or and passion about. Because the method in which one does things for learning is the same for every other subject. It's a process that helps with every type of subject that there is. It's not just for one particular school of thought. It is just how we as a species think as a whole. Not only that, it's how we've trained our computer AI to think as a whole. Now, there's different rule sets that they use than we do, but the general process is the same, which has to do with inputting information, the computer's processing that information, and then giving the output of whatever it is that it was based upon the information that was put in and its ability to process the information that it was handled. It's the same thing for us. This is how everything thinks. Period, so far as we know in the universe thus far. And so once we learn how to gather the data properly, as isn't taught by the trivium method, then we learn how to process it. We'll be able to do this on our own. We won't need somebody to teach us anything. And it gives us a way forward to make that happen, which has previously been held back by other instructors of how to do things with it that make it so we need to rely upon them. That doesn't mean you can't have a mentor in the field or that you won't want one. It just means that you potentially won't need one anymore, especially as you get better at using the trivium method as time goes on. So of course, subject matters can range into anything. It could be, the physics, it could be chemistry, it could be history, it could be any particular thing that goes on with it. It makes no difference what the field is. You could go and learn sociological and political issues, newly developing scientific hypotheses, or historical and literary analysis. None of this makes any difference whatsoever in terms of what the field is, because they all use the same process in terms of things with it. In other words, this is learning how we as a species learn. And this allows one to critically and creatively think for oneself. And this sums up the process in short. So the first step is to thinking systematically is learning the elements of a proposition or a subject in order to critically define a problem or an opportunity. And of course, this is done in the first two stages. This is done in the stage of grammar, which is where you gather all the information, and then you move on to the logic stages, which is where you process the information that is available to you. And do the best that you can in order to sift out any contradictions that there are, which of course makes it so that way you have to be honest with oneself, as we talked about before, meaning what your capabilities are, what you are not capable of, and make it so that way you align yourself to the truth of reality to the best of your capability, which is why you need the other steps in the initiate's journey, as we talked about before, in order to help with this. This is a filtration process. It is a process of making it so that way we keep purifying and rarefying everything that is going on around us within our mind and make sure that we are as aligned to reality as possible. And the more that we are aligned to the facts that there are of any given situation for what we do, and the better that we are able to process that information and make that happen by being honest with ourselves, by sticking to the facts and not moving into anything that has not been proven factual in any way, shape, or form, the more likely we are to get the outcome that we so desire, individually or as a species as a whole. And so this is why we need to go through these particular stages. And once these stages are defined, we use our creative thought capacity to solve the problem or find ways to take advantage of the opportunity. And this is the how-to step, the rhetorical step of the process that accomplishes this particular task. So this is how you can move it, use it, excuse me, going forward by making it so that way you understand the various different steps that are required in any particular problem that needs to be solved, which is you need to gather the data on the problem. Some problems are easy that need to be solved. You don't need to have to think much about it. Other ones require lots of thoughts and multiple steps in order to solve them, and you have to be able to do all of them or know how to do all of them. And so this is where you go through the process of making sure that everything is in order and that you understand what needs to be done and using your own creative abilities, your own subjective abilities that each one of us has that are unique to us. And make it so that way we solve the problem that is before us and make the best out of any situation that there is possible. So this is one of the major benefits that comes along with this is the capability of knowing how to do this with virtually any topic that there is in existence. To me, and beyond this, the most important aspect of learning how to think rather than what to think is the fact that it makes it so that way you become a first-hand thinker versus being a second-hand thinker if you follow the trivia method steps in order and do it properly. Because it makes it so that way you are independent rather than a dependent thinker. So an independent thinker is someone who can rely on their own organized thoughts, and this makes it so that way they are capable of understanding any subject on their own and do not need to listen to so-called various authorities and the opinions that they hold on any particular subject matter. They become someone who is able to make it so that way they are able to think for themselves and come to conclusions on their own. And we don't know whether these so-called authorities have our best interest at heart or not. There are plenty of people, unfortunately, that are unscrupulous out there, that don't have good intentions for people. Some people might be benign, others will be despotic. Maybe this will come from people in the workplace. It will come from your schools. It'll come from other professionals, advertisings, politicians, whoever. It doesn't make any difference. But the point is, this is a way of also figuring out what your own thoughts are on a subject, rather than making it so that way you have a bunch of thoughts that have been put there by other people that you don't fully understand, and you don't know whether they are your own thoughts or not. And you will need this in order to make it so that way you can actually go and live your best life. If you are incapable of knowing whether a thought is yours, or if it's been handed to you by somebody else, even somebody that's well-meaning, it could be a parent, or it could be a friend who's trying to honestly help you out. But if you can't distinguish between what your thoughts are on something and what somebody else's thoughts are on something, and they hand you a thought that is not beneficial to you, even if they're well-meaning, it can completely make it so that way you go off in a different direction for your life than you would have done so if you had thought through for yourself. And this is why it is so important to make sure that we are capable of thinking for ourselves, to make it so that way we are not ruled by people who don't have our best intentions at heart, who give us their thoughts in order to rule over us, or to make it so that way people who are well-meaning don't give us thoughts that are not something that's beneficial to us. and that we were able to distinguish between our own thoughts and somebody else's thoughts and parse out what we want to do rather than make it so that way we are not capable of doing that and therefore have to guess for what it is. And so if you are someone who is dependent upon the thoughts of other people, well, you're going to develop low self-esteem, of course. You're going to have anxiety about the world. You're going to have all these other problems that pop up for yourself because you don't know what's real, you don't know what's not real, and that kind of thing. In fact, this is what most people get wrong about another term that has to do with confidence. Confidence is not an emotion. It is a state of being. It is a state of being where you don't have any confusion about what you are doing. You do not have any negative afflictive emotions that get in the way, such as worry, such as doubt, such as anxiety, any of these other things. It's a state of a lack of those things to make it so that you have clarity on what needs to be done with it. Well, how do you think you get such clarity? By being able to think things through and knowing what to do and knowing what's real and what's not real and being able to move forward with that. That's what happens there. But if you are unable to think for yourself and are reliant upon secondhand thinking that has been handed to you, well, then you're at the whims of whatever has been handed to you, and it makes it so that way if there's nothing in your arsenal that knows how to deal with this particular situation, you can't think through what needs to be done, and therefore you have these feelings of helplessness, you have these feelings of what do I do and confusion and all of that, which makes it so that way you lose your confidence and make it so that way you don't have the highest esteem of yourself. And this is one of the major problems that most people in the world have today is that they have so many various different anxieties, fears, and doubts about their future and worries about their future and what to do now and all that other stuff because they don't know the proper steps forward and having a process of how to deal with life throws at them, at least a proper one. So this to me is one of the most important aspects of the Trivium Method is what it does for you on a personal level in terms of helping you to make it so that way a lot of these turbulent emotions that pop up in your life will be mitigated. I'm not saying they'll go away completely. We are human beings. We have other things that need to be taken care of for ourselves in order to make that happen. But this is something that is extremely beneficial on those steps. And so the other thing is, of course, that you have the five W's plus how in order to do that. Five W's being who, what, when, where, and why. When you're able to answer these questions and then you can come up with the how of things with it, you'll be able to manage things much more easily. That you can also verify your understanding and produce objective results for the context of your surroundings. One of the major other things that happened is that when we had the one room schoolhouses, at least here in America. I'm sure there were in other places around the world, of course, too. The students were taught by one instructor, and the upperclassmen helped teach the younger ones how to do things as well. And this made it so that way there was a method for being taught as well as teaching others that went into things, and the people got to practice the Trivium Method inside of the school system in and of itself and see the benefits of doing so. And then they got to make it so that way they could see where they were deficient in trying to explain it to other people who were below them grade-wise. And it made it so that way people became much more critical thinkers, much more creative, much more self-sufficient individuals, and led to a serenity of mind that is almost impossible, if not actually impossible, to explain to someone who doesn't have the capability of doing this. And it's really a tragedy that this has been removed from our curriculum, and that it makes it so that way people don't have the self-assurance that they once used to have, and the competence that it provides in things to have the ability to appropriately validate one's own thinking, as well as the thinking and doctrines of others. So that was another benefit that came from this method of the one schoolhouse and having everybody in the same room together at different grade levels that no longer exist when they were called grammar schools. Now we call them elementary schools, and that's because they don't use this method of thinking anymore. That was why they were called grammar schools, but they part of the grammar that they learned to begin with and understanding. That's why it was called the classical liberal arts that we no longer teach. So this is something that's a huge drawback, unfortunately, in our education system, and something that is not good in any way, shape, or form. And of course, someone who has this ability to attract this type of intellectual abundance in their lives, then it'll naturally follow from it that material abundance will start to come with it. And this will be done in moderation, of course, not in excess, because we don't need to make it so that we have a stupid amount of money in order to survive and do things with it and become parasitical, like certain groups are when they have too much money and it corrupts them. Another very important aspect of this is that once you become a first-hand thinker, once you have this method, once you are able to sift through things and determine the truth of the matter for yourself, it leads you to having a path of self-determination. This is what tyrants are afraid of, like Julius Caesar with the slaves coming about. If one is able to think things through, as one is able to come up with solutions in order to free themselves from slavery, and then to go help their other brothers and sisters who are also slaves, and then make it so that way those people start freeing other people with it and completely change the established order that there was for Rome, that would be a huge problem for someone like Caesar. He doesn't want a population that can think for themselves, because then they'll realize that everything that's going on in a tyrannical place, such as it was during that time period, that it wouldn't be make any sense. And so they would actively take actions against such a regime and such a tyrannical institution that existed, and make it so that way they try to craft a better life for themselves and for others, and it would destroy the system that was already in place. This is what he was afraid of. He was afraid of the amount of thinking that would be going on, of the amount of capability that would automatically increase inside of it. If you have a system where people are dependent upon you, you hold power over them. You are the one that gets to dictate what happens to the other person versus somebody who is able to choose for themselves and have a path that they have carved out for themselves. You don't hold power over that type of individual. You don't make it so that way you can control them. They go out and write their own destiny and become a master of it for themselves. They make it so that way they can determine their own future to the best of their capabilities and whatnot. Well, they'll make mistakes along the way, as is natural of any human being. But the point is that they know how to recover from their mistakes. They know how to prevent many of their mistakes. They know how to make it so that way they can go and do whatever needs to get done and have a path forward for themselves and use their creative capacities and actually be creative and figure out what is real and what is not real, rather than just handed to them. This is the playbook we want you to follow by. Don't go outside this playbook. This is just the way things are. Okay? Got it? Great. Thank you for playing the game so that way I can exploit you further. That's what happens. It's a huge difference between secondhand thinking, to where you're at the behest of somebody else and what they want for you, versus you being able to truly decide what you want to do with your life and having the capacity to do so. People wonder why the world remains the same and rarely changes, and we churn out the same types of people that we've done before. Well, that's because we have an outcome-based education. AKA, we want to create the same types of people that we've already done before. This is done a long time ago by a group of people in Prussia, and we have the Prussian education system, and that's what we have here in America, also known as the outcome-based education system. And it began to be created in the late 19th century. And the whole point of it was to make it so that way it was done in such a way to make it so that way you could be one cogwheel in the machine. And when that cogwheel need to replace, you can just replace it with another one real easily. This is because the Prussian system was done in such a way that it was a highly militarized at the time period, and they needed to make that happen for their system in order for it to work. You need robots that just fulfill a function rather than making it so that we have a bunch of free-thinking individuals. And that's exactly what happened. Eventually, this was adopted by other countries in the world. You see this with Soviet Russia, you see this with Nazi Germany, you see this with France and other countries, and eventually it makes its way to America. And this is the same type of education system that we have now, one where it's about making it so that way we're cogwheels in a machine. The difference is that instead of making it so that way we can fit military positions like it was in Prussia, it's to make it so that way we can fit various different corporate positions, various different positions that we can fulfill for jobs, and make it so that way we meet the requirements for that particular thing and whatnot. That's what it's about. It's about churning out the same types of people and to make it so we can replace one with anything else that's going on. This is why certain fields are so competitive, because all you have is a bunch of people that literally have the exact same skill set and as everybody else that's in that field, and they have very little to distinguish themselves from other people. And so now the corporate overlords that are in these particular fields that are in charge of it, they make it so that way, okay, well, I have 100 and something different applicants that have applied for this particular job. How do I determine which one that I want? Do I go based upon the most experience? Well, if I go based upon the most experience, I might have to pay that one the most. If I go based upon the least experience, well, if I go based upon the least experience, they may not get the job done correctly. So, they kind of want someone who's average, who they don't have to pay a stupid amount of money to get the same thing done with it, but they want to make sure that they get the job done and can get it done. And that, you can train anybody to do anything that needs to be done for it. And we don't want people who think too much for themselves. So we want someone who's just smart enough to do the job, but not enough to question what the hell's going on all the time for it and, disrupt the way things are being done. That's what they want. And that's what they've done. This is what our education system has done to people. It's made it so that way. We have people who are able to fill a position in society at any given notice, at any given time, and that's it. That's the point. Our existence has been made to be unthinking robots that can be replaced by somebody else at any given time and make it so that way we are at the behest of other people who do not have our best interest at heart because, by definition, they want us to not think for ourselves. And anybody who does not want somebody else to be able to think for themselves is somebody else who wants to control that individual, which is never a good thing. And so that is one of the major differences too between the trivia method and an outcome-based education. It's one where you determine things for yourself. You are free to make decisions for yourself. You are someone who is capable of understanding the world around you rather than shut up and follow orders. Regurgitate this information that we've told you to do, and we call it education. That's what happens there. What I was basically describing earlier is what you could call protocols and rationale. So here's the rationale behind the thing that we want to do. This is our justification for it, and this is what we want you to do in this situation. Boom, that's it. It's the same thing as modern computing with AI. We program it to do a particular thing, and you program the protocols that you want into it using the computer language. If this, then this, and that's what it does. Well, that's the same thing that they want us to be able to do. If this happens, then we want you to respond this particular way. That's the same thing that I was describing earlier in terms of making us literally like robots rather than free thinking, independent human beings that we naturally are. And so we can see this, of course, with children. What's their favorite question? Why? 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 That's what they do. They ask why about everything. Why is the sky blue? Why does the world exist? Why is this at this color? Why do we do it this way instead of that way? Because they're thinking. They're not just following things with it. And then what do? We hand them the answer. The sky is blue because of blah, 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 blah. This is that way because of blah, 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 blah. That doesn't help them. It doesn't make it so that way they can do anything better for themselves. We're handing them a protocol. It's this because of this. Instead of being like, well, why do you think that's the case for it? Let's explore this together and whatnot. Now, and we need to be able to steward them and help them become better at what they need to do with their lives and whatnot when they're younger. But we also need to be able to make it so that way they're able to think for themselves. And so it's this delicate balance that we have to play here when they're younger and figuring out what exactly they're ready for in terms of what they are capable of doing and what they should be allowed to have autonomy on. Of course, here's the issue as well. By being trained and conditioned in such a way, it makes it so that way we have certain psychological conditions that pop up, like we talked about earlier, feelings of anxiety, feelings of fear, and all these other things with it. What happens if my job goes away? What happens if I, don't have enough money to take care of my family and that kind of thing? People are worried about that because they know that they don't have a way forward and a different way of thinking in order to make that happen for themselves, that they're not necessarily able to think, and they are reliant upon the system that has been created, and they don't know how to do anything other than what the system provides for them. So if the system doesn't provide for them, they know deep down that they are screwed. And this causes lots of feelings of anxiety. It also makes it so that way we go against our nature as human beings. And this is why so many of us hate our jobs, because they're mind-numbing. They don't do anything that's good for humanity. They're not something that gives us meaning or purpose in our life. And so it makes it so that way we just feel completely and utterly dejected by life. And we question, well, what's the point of doing anything? So it makes it so that way we become depressed as well, because we are going against what we want to be doing with our lives. We know it deep down. We've rejected certain aspects of ourselves instead of confronting the situation, being honest with ourselves like a child would do, and saying, hey, I don't want to do this. There's certain other things I'd rather be doing with my time that make me feel like a human being instead of a robot. But that's the problem, is that these feelings pop up and they make it so that way we have all these problems later on in our life. This is where a lot of people get midlife crises, where they realize that they wasted decades of their life doing something that they didn't want to do, and that wasn't productive, and that wasn't meaningful, and that wasn't elevating themselves and the world around them. That they were had essentially thrown away all their time for something that they didn't care about one way or another, and that it wasn't a benefit to society as a whole, and that it wasn't truly meaningful to them on an individual level. So this is one of the problems of making it so that way people go against their nature, go against what it means to be human, and this can cause problems in such a way that make it so that way people lash out in society. It makes it so that way, but potentially this is where we get certain really damaged people doing damaged things for what's going on, because damaging things because of what's going on, such as school shooters or other things that pop up of this nature that are clearly they don't want to do anything with it. That are negative, maybe they're con artists and only deceive other people and whatnot, because that's what happens when they become so dejected by society. They think, well, nothing matters anyway. There's no point to anything. I'm just gonna get what I want for myself and move the hell on and not worry about anybody else about it because screw the world. It's a terrible place. I can't have a nice life doing what I want to do. I'm going to find another way in order to make it so that way I can have live a life of pleasure, basically. The final major benefit of the trivia method is that it leads to a truly opened mind rather than one that is conditioned by the product of its society. And it makes it so that way you'll be able to free ourselves from our own opinions and prejudices as we are exposed to new thoughts and new ideas. We'll be able to look at a particular philosophy or protocol or ideology that is presented to us, and we will be able to make a judgment value of whether it makes any sense to continue thinking the way that we've done with it and remove any thinking from ourselves that is not justified and does not make any sense and does not help us in any way, shape, or form. And it is makes it so that way we can have a truly educated mind, one that is allowed to really develop itself and constantly rearranges itself and the thoughts and actions that it has when presented with new information, and is always striving to understand the world better around it, and does so automatically without having to do so on a conscious level. Thank you for listening to this episode. If you've enjoyed it in any way, shape, or form, I really encourage you to please subscribe to the podcast as well as to leave a rating for it. It'll really help us out. If you feel so called to do so, please visit the website at forbiddenknowledge.org, to where you can get many different benefits that are coming from it. One of which would be to sign up for the email list that we have and make it so that way you can get more information about the initiate's journey. If you feel so inclined, you can go even further and make it so that way you sign up to become a client of mine. So we can help you really deep dive any of these topics and really figure out what to do with your life. And if you already have a particular project in mind that you want to get done, how to make it so that way you can live your best life possible. At a later date, there will be books and courses that will be available too. So make sure to continuously check out the website for future updates on stuff with it. One of which will be the trivia method and going deeper with it and having a course that really deep dives this particular aspect of our lives and how to really make it so that way we can take control of our lives back. Thank you for listening once again. Take care.